right, thank you for being here. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And with that, Greg is going to do the Pledge of Allegiance and Don's going to do our prayer. If you would stand, please, if you could.
All right, good morning. Please join with me. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A brief prayer. Gracious Lord, we bow our hearts and minds seeking your guidance as the panel and staff review the proposed new budget. May our decisions be aligned with the best interests of our customers, the operational needs of the district, and the board's fiduciary integrity. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Madam Secretary, roll call, please.
Director Don Olinger.
Here.
Director Greg Young.
Here.
Director Dr. Clifford Young.
Excused.
Vice President Kyle Crowther.
Excused.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor.
I'm here. With that, I move that we adopt the agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Director Don Olinger.
Yes.
Director Greg Young.
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor.
Yes. All right, public participation. Any person wishing to speak to the Board of Directors on matters listed or not listed on the agenda within its jurisdiction is asked to complete a speaker card and submit it to the district clerk. Each speaker is limited to 3 minutes under the State of California Brown Act. The Board of Directors is prohibited from discussing or taking action on any item not on the posted agenda. Comments related to the noticed public hearings and business matters will be heard during the occurrence of the item. I don't have any cards up here. Anybody want to say anything, though? All right, I guess not. Okay, I will close public participation, and we'll move on under discussion. Review of the proposed fiscal year budget. Clarence, you're on.
Good morning, directors and staff, and also the public. This meeting is to discuss our proposals for the 2019-20 fiscal year budget, and we're going to have our CFO, Ms. Lenita McCauley-Bates, proceed with the presentation.
Good morning, President Taylor and directors, also staff and our public. Wanted to let you know there is a vast amount of information that we provided for you today in regards to the budget. Wanted to go through the presentation, which gives you the highlights of the budget. The preparation of this budget was to keep in mind the mission statement of the district, and that's in regards to providing the district and the public with a reasonable rate for the services that are provided. Therefore, staff was reminded, and we all participated in parsing down a vast number of requests to the actual critical items necessary. Want to first start out with an overview of the district's cash and investment. There is a total of approximately $59 million of cash and investments for the district currently. If you look at it, you can see that it's divided in various areas. Some in Chase, very little, because that's our operating fund in which we use in which to pay our daily bills, and also, of course, our payroll for staff. And then there's CalTrust short term that's been discussed at the financial meetings that we've had, and we'll be presenting some information about CalTrust later on as well. CalTrust medium term, LAIF, and also Chandler. Chandler holds about $12 million of this monies. LAIF, as you know, is available within 24 hours if needed, so it is our most liquid fund with the exception of Chase Bank. If you notice how there has been growth in the fund, in the cash and investments, if you notice in 2012, there was only $16 million cash in investments. That has risen, and the reason was rate case, where there were 3 years that were taken in consideration for increased rates. Also, there's been more development that's occurred Therefore, we've obtained more financial assistance in that regard too, to put towards capital. And those are the major issues that have caused the general fund in regards to cash and investments to increase. We kind of just went over that, the rise from 16 to 58 million fiscal year 2012 to 2019, and that is very good in regards to being able to fund capital and also fund our day-to-day, although that is funded in general by our Chase Bank account and what we receive in regards to operating revenues and non-operating revenues. The rate increase, again, the increase in development, though we have deployed less capital than planned, that is one of the reasons why it's been built up as well. Generally, we've been deploying 50% of the capital that's planned on an annual basis, so that rolls on over to the next year. And then our investment returns, they were quite substantial this past year, over $1 million. Therefore, there's been growth there as well. There are funds that are restricted and there are funds that are unrestricted. Just to keep in mind that the bonds are restricted. The customer deposits, they cannot be touched. They have to stay there, of course. Capacity account, that is from the developers, and those amounts have to be used for capacity projects in relation to capital. Also the rebates that were done. Then there's capital reserve funds. As you know, the capital reserve fund policy is that you have to have 100% of the capital in the accounts for the current fiscal year and 80% for the next fiscal year. And the next fiscal year is generally estimate based on how much work is planned. Then there's liquidity funds and other reserves. Just a reminder that we are self-insured for $5 million. A look at the year-to-date. Year-to-date financials look very good currently. Right now we're trending $11 million, and that's non-operating and operating revenues and expenditures. If you notice, that's a lot more than was planned, of course, because we adopted that we would end up being $3.8 million, and the amended was $3.4 million. As you know, there was a $3 million settlement that occurred during this time that has increased that amount. And also, we have to wait to the end of the year to see what exactly is going to be paid out. But just to let you know, we're doing very, very well year to date. The 2019-2020 assumptions. If you notice, operating revenues are predicted to be less than were predicted for 2018-2019. And in general, those are predicted to be less because of water sales and if there are wet weather issues. It has been very, very wet this year. And because it has been very, very wet, sales have been down. As you know, tier two and tier three are generally the ones that make the additional more of the revenue in that regard. And a lot of that is irrigation. Therefore, we're looking that it's trending down because we're anticipating it will be wet, but not as wet as this year. Also, we are looking at the assumption that COLA is not included in these financials. We're also stating that it's fully staffed with all employees. Currently, we are not fully staffed. We have 21 vacancies that has assisted us in being more having more funds at this time. And also freezing non-critical positions and hiring certain operational needs for unmet maintenance. Another assumption is engineering employees are reclassified, and they're being reclassified to capital. Bank card fees are currently paid by the district. It is proposed by staff that is passed on to the customer, and that's approximately $150,000 currently. And this does not include, of course, depreciation and AMART. Looking briefly at revenues, the adopted revenue was $28,451,090. The amended budget, $28,711,090. And the requested, again, is less, $27,637,474. non-operating revenue. This past year, we adopted 2018-2019, $2,283,532. The amended was $2,378,532. And the requested is $2,386,800. And that's pretty consistent with the previous year. The proposed expenses are as follows, and that's an eye chart. Understand, so you have it in the document as well. So that if you notice, the expenses are 25,986,474 for the adopted. The amended was 26,795,122. And what is requested this year is slightly under the mid-year, but over the adopted at 26,584,818. Non-operating expense, dealing with our interest expense, long-term debt, that is staying pretty stable. As I discussed before, there are 21 vacancies right now, and I've listed them for you. They include various departments, and a lot of them are maintenance and external affairs, meter reading, and we also have engineering empties, and also info technology, GIS, and two purchasing. However, one purchasing was just hired, so it's a little flux in the vacancies. In regards to the percentage change overall, if you look at the departments and a percentage change, a lot of them went down. When we started out, it was a lot different than this. We were millions. We had to figure out millions. So we were asked each department to parse down their request, and we went with the critical needs, and therefore you'll see a majority of them have decreased. As you know, asset management is a new department. Critical need, because overall, over time, you're going to have less corrective maintenance, which is going to save the ratepayers money overall. And therefore, we are looking forward and implementing asset management to ensure a better future. In regards to the capital improvement plan, it is currently standing at approximately $33 million. But we wanted to provide you detail, and this is a complete detail of what is required, not on what will be requested come for the budget. So this will be parsed down to approximately $20 million, looking at the critical needs, and that will include the rollover. And it is approximately $9 million of rollover. Like we stated, only 50% of the projects have really been completed on an annual basis, but that is one of the reasons why it has been proposed to include more engineering people into the budget so there can be more projects accomplished. And potential risk, just so that you know, there are risks in regards to this budget, and those risks include weather impacting sales. If we have another wet season like we did this last winter, then we will have lower revenue than is anticipated. It's looking as if we're gonna come in this year at around $15.3 million. And we're projecting for next year approximately $16 million. So that to me is about a $700,000 risk. Also joining Groundwater Council and paying for groundwater replenishment. Further union negotiations is a risk as well. Also Well 54 repair. As you may recall, we had to expend over $800,000 to buy water because Fontana, that is our only water source in Fontana, when Well 54 went down, purchasing occurred, and that cost additional funds. It is at the near end of repair, and I have been assured that it is most definitely probably going to be operational and ready to go in July. Also, interest and investment earnings made it pretty reasonable, approximately $375,000 for this coming year. There has been good years and bad year. This past year was very good at 1.2. And that, I won't go through each one of these projects. That will be mostly engineering and operations. We'll go through the projects. However, if there are any questions that you have on the operations and the capital, we are open to accept them. Thank you.
That concludes her presentation. So at this time, what we would normally do is start to go through the individual departments for a review and answer your questions as we go through the individual departments. Or would you want to do it another way? Would you, does somebody already have a list of questions that?
You want to let them go through the departments or do you want to ask questions now? I'll leave it up to you, Greg.
Yeah, if I could.
Sure.
Because I do have some questions on the revenue side first, and then we can go department by department, if that's okay with you.
That's fine. Go ahead. Okay.
Clarence, you had mentioned to me, and Ms. Bates, you can maybe chime in, that we're looking, as far as this current year, because of the rain and the lower usage, that we're probably going to be about 10% below on this current year's.
Yes, in terms revenue. Of in terms of
water
domestic water sales, yes.
Yeah. So we're actually going to be about $1.6 million below.
No, with adjustments, it comes out to be about $1 million.
It comes out to be about $1 million. About $1 million.
I mean, because the way I'm looking at it is that we're $3 million behind and we got 1 month to go, correct?
That's correct.
And so the likelihood from my own calculations is we might see 1.4, maybe 1.6 million come in the month of June.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a fair assessment?
That is fair.
So it's more than $1 million behind. We're more like $1.5 million behind, correct?
Correct. We're about approximately 1.4.
Okay. Yes. So, yeah. So just want to be clear because I know that we adjusted the water sales down about $800,000, correct?
Correct.
But like I said, it looks like this year, because of the wet weather, we're going to actually be about $1.5 million below.
Yes.
And so wouldn't it be fair to say that we may want to assume more than an $800,000? Because I agree, next year, if it becomes even remotely as wet, or even if it's not as wet, but it's spread out throughout the year, kind of like this year, normally we get it all in a couple months. This year, it's kind of been a little more spread out at times. I mean, hell, you know, we just had a storm here not that long ago that rained. So my concern is that we may see the same thing happen next year. And with our debt covenant ratio on the edge, I'm very nervous about even a $16 million figure. I think that we need to be a lot more conservative than that.
Well, one of the things that's happened is we're talking about domestic water sales. But that's only one component of our total sales.
I understand that.
And so when you look at the total sales, even though water sales may be down,
mm-hmm.
We have increased revenue in some other areas, and I'll let her expound upon that.
Yes, I certainly understand your concern, Director. I was concerned as well. So what we looked at is that this year has been a bit of an anomaly. It has not been a usual practice in California that there has been so much rain. Therefore, we wanted to look at the past 2 years as well in the calculation. So we looked at this year. We looked at the previous 2 years. We also took in account that there is more development growth that is occurring currently. And then we put a 3% on top because of the growth that we have been seeing in the district. And that's how we came up with the number. Just looking at this year, that's why it's a risk, and it's pointed out as a risk, as a potential. However, and I was thinking it was about a $700,000 risk. However, I think looking at just this year for the calculation of the budget would not be in the best interest because it is a bit of an anomaly year.
Well, I would agree that that rainfall in Southern California is sporadic,
yes.
But it does also seem to go in cycles, too. You know, it's not unusual for you to have two wet years back to back and then maybe 10 years of drought. So, again, from a conservative standpoint, I'm a little leery that we're still, I think, budgeting too much in this line because I think that we need to be prepared if it does end up being another wet year. Because right now, if it is, we're screwed. Plain simple.
They did take into account, and that's what this, that's why we have this, as we're calling it, an austerity budget, because of the fact that we did budget for less because we're expecting another wet year. Whether it happens or not, we don't know.
And I understand that. My point is I don't think you're budgeting enough for it to be a wet year. I don't think 800,000 is enough when, in fact, we're going to be about 1.5 million short this year.
But we do have increases in other areas in terms of savings.
I understand you have increases in other areas, but this specific line is affected by the rainfall. The other areas can fluctuate on their own for other reasons.
Right.
But specifically here, I'd be a whole lot more comfortable if we at least just even budgeted it a million below, because then we're getting a little closer. But to me, again, we're going to be about $1.5 million below this year because of the rain. If we have another wet year or even a wetter year next year, what's that going to do to this budget? It's going to be disastrous. And to me, I would much rather undershoot it than overshoot it, because if we get more revenue than we planned, that's great. But if we get less than what we planned and we're planning on spending a lot more money, and we'll get to that later, in places that I don't think we should, we're dancing on a very thin margin right now. And to me, I'd feel much more comfortable if we were more realistic on this part and made the cuts appropriate to live within that if that ended up being what actually happens.
I think we are being realistic. And so at this point in time, we stand by the recommendations that we're making.
Well, I mean, I'll leave it to my colleagues, but to me, I have a real problem with even that number. I think that that's probably still putting it a little too close, because again, if we have another wet year, it's not going to be an $800,000 loss. It'll be closer to $1 million and $1.5 million loss. And that's assuming it's relatively the same. What if it's even wetter? What if the rain is spread out even further and it's more like a $2 million loss?
And that's where we have a problem that we have to discuss at another point in time, which is our rate structure.
Well, we'll get to that soon enough, I'm sure. But the bigger question is also our spending. But for right now, I'm just talking about the revenue. I think that given the way this year has gone, we need to be even more conservative. But we can move on. I did have a few other questions on the other incomes. Now, I realize that we have a new Senate bill, the Senate Bill 998, that's affecting our ability to cut off people who are delinquent. Am I correct in that? Because I noticed that we changed the way which we're budgeting some of the other operating income because of that. So I just wanted to clarify, because I know that this year, particularly on after-hour same-day turnoff, we actually exceeded our original projections for last year's budget, but we're proposing it's only going to be 6,000 moving forward.
So that everybody can follow, what page are you on?
This is still on page 1 of 47.
1 of 47, okay.
On the detailed version under other operating income. I just want to clarify that we think that 6,000 will be appropriate under the new law.
The new law was taken into account.
Yeah.
In fact, staff is very well, you know, acutely aware of that law.
Which is why I'm asking, because, I mean, you're basically saying we're only going to bring in half as much money in this area, even though we were over budget last year.
That's correct. We took in consideration this new law on a couple of different things, including turn-ons and turn-offs. It's going to be more difficult in regards to this new law to even turn on and turn off.
Correct.
Time frames are going to be.
And I am familiar a little bit with the law, because I remember when it first came out. But we feel comfortable that we're only going to get half as many of those fees now moving forward?
It is up in the air. I'm going to tell you it's a more of a guesstimate made by us at this point in time, because we're not certain the true impact.
Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, again, I would much rather we undershoot it than overshoot it, so I'm okay with keeping it. I just wanted to have that conversation.
Make sure we're aware.
Yes.
Yeah. Inspection fees. Last year we did 45,000. This is all still under other operating income. And you proposed 45,000 again, but last year we did almost, or well, this year we're doing almost, we'll probably maybe hit 70,000 maybe by the end of June. So any reason why we're staying at 45, or maybe Linda can answer, are we expecting more inspections or the same amount of inspections next year, or are we expecting it to kind of drop off?
Go ahead and use your mic.
Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It obviously depends on development, but I would assume that we're going to see the same rate as we have this year.
Okay, so realistically, we may be able to say 60,000. I mean, again, we're probably going to hit 70 from what it's looking like.
Yes, 60 sounds reasonable.
Okay, so I would suggest we make that change, because again, I didn't want us to stay at the same level if we're expecting this much activity. Now, fines for unauthorized water use was another category where we were a bit up this year, and we're still proposing the same amount. I mean, it's a small amount, but can anyone tell me why we have so many people unauthorizedly using our water all of a sudden?
Joanne?
Good morning.
Possibly people stealing our water, or sometimes, mostly people stealing our water.
I mean, I guess my concern, and it's maybe not so much a budget thing and more just a general question of a board member, are we seeing a 50% increase in the number of people stealing water? Because we're about 150% on this budget line, so we're obviously fining a whole lot more people than we have in the past.
I believe the fine that's reflected in that general ledger account is for example, if we shut off a service and find out the following month there was use on it, there's a fine that's assessed. And I believe it's in the neighborhood of $100 to $200 each. So $2,200 over the course of the year is about 11 instances.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm just a general question as I was reading through this. Are we seeing an uptick in that kind of behavior?
None that I'm specifically aware of. And you know, I think actually they've probably done a better job of monitoring those.
Can we maybe do a little more research on this line item then, maybe to see what the true average is and what should be appropriately budgeted? I'm sorry, Mr. Old, you had a comment?
Yes, Director Young. One of the first things I did was I took a look at last year's CAFR, mm-hmm. and I was looking at production water versus what was sold. Mm-hmm. So in general, this is called non-revenue water. And I noticed there were some interesting statistics associated with that. And although I appreciate your concern, based on a review of the CAFR, it actually shows that non-revenue water is decreasing. So I think what John is mentioning is actually a specific situation associated with as he mentioned, I think shutoffs and unauthorized use, and that's going to simply vary as a function of the community as it moves and changes. But to your point, yeah. I believe it was more non-revenue water related. Okay. I am taking a look at that, and I will be working with staff to understand whether there's a significant issue there or whether we are within industry standard.
Okay. Well, maybe, John, what you're referring to, maybe that needs to be reflected differently than on the budget. Because, like I said, it kind of makes it sound like we have a lot more people stealing water, you know, so.
Yeah, we can certainly check into that and follow back up and as appropriate, revise how that's reflected.
Okay. Further down on the other operating income, we have a 3A1 pump. Last year, we budgeted $20,000. This year, we're almost at 40, but we're budgeting 30. Can somebody explain to me what this item is?
Sure. Joanne?
And why it's a revenue account?
We bill at the 301 pump station. City of Rialto has some rights to use those.
Okay.
So basically, we bill them for a portion of the electrical, the electric bill, the alarm, other costs based on their percentage of usage of the water that flows through there.
Gotcha.
So that is basically a reimbursement of costs that we pay for and bill to the city of Rialto.
Okay, so did they utilize the water from that pump more than we anticipated then? Is that why it's almost double what we originally thought from last year?
That is likely the case.
Joanne can answer that. She's
They were hoping maybe we can run through TOU this summer, so that way City of Rialto, us, and also San Bernardino, they can have water, because normally we haven't been running that pump during TOU in summertime.
Yeah.
So we're just talking, is it better if we go that route? And if we go that route, then if we have any kind of situation this summer, it will just help us and also our member agencies.
Okay, so you feel comfortable that 30,000 is probably good for next year?
Yeah, and it's not guaranteed that we're going to use, but it's kind of nice to have that insurance here.
Yeah, okay. All right, again, I just, when I look at last year versus this year, I always want to check some of these. And then while we're still on the subject of Rialto, their portion of operations, the very next line, we originally budgeted 150 last year. They've only spent 92, but we're still hoping for 130 next year.
There may be a timing issue on this.
Okay.
What happens is, you know, as
so
we collect
some
the expenses
that
and look at the how much consumption we bill them, so there probably is a month or two timing difference on this.
Okay.
Yes,
so
and I am certain accounting is a month or two behind currently.
Okay, so how close are we probably going to end up for this year? Is it going to be around that $130
It's figure? Anticipated that it'll be around that $130,000.
Okay,
that's
and
why
so that's why we're budgeting that for next year.
That's why we're budgeting that for next year.
Okay. Little further down on the UTC routine costs for the FBR, I noticed that we're proposing a little bit of an increase on this item. I know last year we did $1 million and we came we're pretty close to that right now. Can someone explain the increase? Is that
she can explain.
Yeah.
The FXB is coming online. And that's going to be increased revenue, but she'll explain the details.
Yes.
Okay.
There are a couple of different areas here. You're going to look at the current one where we increased it 1.144.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that was done is based on where we came in and the true up last year. It was 1.144. Therefore, we anticipate the same amount this year as
okay.
well. In regards to the additional UTC FXB, this is actually not online yet. It was.
I didn't have a question on that.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
My question was only on the
okay.
regular routine.
My apologies.
Yeah, the FXB. I understand that that'll
okay.
be coming on this year.
Great.
So, okay. A little further down on revenue, the administrative fees, section 2017. Says it's for inspection fees, administrative fees, meter installation fees. We budgeted $200,000 last year, and we're proposing $200,000 again. But so far, it looks like we're only about $163,000. So, I mean, are we expecting that to go up more, or are we going to be short again on this one?
I'll turn that over to Linda.
It's my understanding that some of the administrative fees that we collect are. They are allocated to different projects. And so this number actually, if the project hasn't closed, it's not reflected in this number.
Okay, so we still have some that are in process then.
Right, there are typically what happens in accounting is towards the end of the year, they coordinate with engineering to take a look at those and true those up. So this usually tends to hit towards the end of the year because of the special audit that we had. A large portion of
mm-hmm.
it did hit for the end of January, which is why you're seeing the number there.
No, I totally get that. Working at the hospital, we do the same thing. We're in our PO blackout right now because they're settling everything up for the year. Okay, that's fine. Now, for the reimbursement from residents for damage done, this one was quite a bit higher than what we originally budgeted last year. And so I'm kind of curious as to what that is and why we are kind of keeping it relatively at the same level.
Yeah.
Joanne, hydrants and things like that that are hit. Fire hydrants and things like that that are hit.
Okay, so these are residents who hit a hydrant, then we charge them to fix it or something like that. Is that basically it?
Yes.
Okay, and so did we just have a lot of accidents this year?
Yes, because of the rain.
Okay. So should we not anticipate a little higher amount, or are you guys comfortable keeping it at about 30,000?
We're comfortable with the recommendation, keeping it around 30.
Okay. All right, that's fine. Okay, that's what I have on revenue, if we want to go into departments.
All right, Clarence, which department do you want to start with?
He's got the question, so.
Okay, we'll start with the first one, which is external affairs. So, because of my concern about us keeping our bond covenant ratio, I'm going to be questioning a lot of things, so please bear with me. I don't mean it at a personal level. It's just my job is to ask those questions, and also just what I do every day at the county is question these kind of things. So I'll be about as tough as my CFO at the hospital is tough on me when I have to justify things. Now, I don't see anyone here from external affairs, so will you be speaking to these items, Mr. General Manager?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I did notice that it looks like some of the rows don't always line up on some of these. I mean, not, I think, external affairs, but some of them, but I'll point that out as we come to them. But the very first item we have on here, if you can bring up the detailed version.
To work here.
So first of all, we're asking for $6,000 for a writing class for public affairs staff. Have we identified the courses in particular? Because that seems like a lot more than what we probably need to spend, because I know that the county sent me to a grant writing class and it was like $500.
Typically, the way these requests are put together is there's a justification form where they've gone out and they've gotten quotes and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to ask Lenita, because I wasn't involved in that level of detail.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have justifications specifying the classes for this?
He based this on, and I'll say the supervisor of public affairs, based it on 5 employees at about 1,100 a person. Actually, it can be cut a bit because we have one position recommended to freeze. However, he was looking at a couple of classes.
Well, to me, I mean, as far as like, I mean, I'll leave it to you, General Manager, to maybe follow up on this one before. But again, I'm looking for areas where we can trim, because I think we need to trim quite a bit. I don't know if we need to have all 5 members of that department maybe going to these classes. I think we need to be a little more judicious in what we're planning to do, because maybe one person needs this more than another employee. So I don't know if we need to focus on all 5 employees with a writing courses, especially since some of our people spend most of their time out in public talking to people, not actually writing. So can we look into that a little more?
We will look into it.
Yeah. The next line is, again, 5 employees for social media training, $6,500. That just, again, it's like, I don't know if all 5 members need that. And also, I think that seems a little like a lot of money for something that shouldn't necessarily cost that much. But if you can please follow up on that. And then also the $6,500 for management and leadership trainings. I need more details on what that is, because that's a lot of money to just kind of put out there for something without any specific details.
No, we can get you the details on that. I know he has pointed out a few of the particular classes that he wants to enroll his employees in.
I mean, because I'm okay with giving y'all a little bit, but you got to be a little more specific. I'm not going to just be happy with broad categories with large dollar amounts. We need to, again, we need to be very judicious. If there's something very particular which somebody needs or wants to go to, let's talk about that. Because, again, I think we have to cut everywhere we can right now.
Right. Typically, just so you know, these requests are supported by documents that we don't thoroughly vet, because you don't have time to really look through everything. But we do usually have supporting documents that go along with the request.
Well, I just know if I tried to bring this to my CFO, he would shoot it down in a millisecond, be like, what is this? You know, tell me exactly where you want to go, how much it actually costs, and then we'll talk about it. You know, otherwise, no. You know,
one of the things that we looked at in this year is having more training for the staff and having that training so they would have to use less consultants. And that way you cut your consulting budget and you're trained to do certain things yourselves.
But at the same time, most of our consultants are still being put in here at the same rate. So we're really not cutting consultants by having more of this training.
Some.
Yeah. So. Anyways, moving on. And this may be more kind of all-encompassing, and I'd rather it be more broken down, but in the past, we had boots for water conservation specialists. Now, on the same line all the way over, now is $3,000 for safety gear. Need a little more detail on this. What kind of safety gear does our public affairs people actually need?
Okay. When what they've talked about is when they've responded to construction sites, like our guys are doing work like a water break or something like that, they haven't had the appropriate PPE and so forth.
So can we get a breakdown of what that actually cost?
Yeah,
of what they need?
Again, this would be based on their checking with purchasing and getting estimates. But we can show you those estimates.
Well, I would just like to know what exactly are we buying with that
$3,000? Helmets, vests, things like that.
And toe shoes.
And part of the reason I bring this up, because I realize not all of you were here last year when I was doing the budget last year, but every year we always throw in a lot of money towards uniforms and all this stuff, and rarely do we ever spend it. So I'm very annoyed, honestly, when I keep seeing, you know, budgets that come to me where they want an increase in uniform allowance when they only spent 40% of what they had last year. So again, we have to be very judicious about every dollar and cent. If we could get a little more detail, I mean, if it's needed and you can show me that this is indeed what it costs, I'll consider it. But not just safety gear, $3,000. I mean, that's just. Now then, further down under postage, you have this negative figure in there per clearance. Can we explain that? Because that's normally not how we budget things around here, at least since all the years I've been on the board. We put what we're actually requesting and it not have a negative at the bottom of it. That can somebody speak to that, please?
Okay. Districting notification newspapers. I was getting them to cut.
Okay, so yeah. Have them actually cut,
yeah,
and not without, just put yeah. It like this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
No, our apologies. That is a typo.
Yeah.
Well, because it shows up throughout this document. It's not just here.
Well, yeah, as they're making comments.
Okay.
And then they don't take the comments out.
Okay. Well, yeah. So have the cuts been made, or they still need to make those cuts?
The cuts should have been made by now.
The cuts have been made. However, with this line item, we're going to have to adjust it, which will be probably, we're going to have to adjust this one, which will be probably additional $30,000. So
yeah, because yes, that's
right.
Part of my concern is that a lot of these cells, it's obviously taking these negatives that into effect, and it's throwing off the subtotal.
No, my apologies. I'm looking at it again, and I remember what John and I did here. We took $24,000 out of the overall, subtracted that out of this bucket, and then came up with the bottom line number of $30,000.
Yeah.
So, again.
But if you look at the rest of it, it's certainly not $30,000. It's way more than $30,000 there.
It's 37.
Because I'm looking at $20,000 for conservation kits, $417.60. I mean, we got more than $30,000 there.
And that drops it to the
30. Yeah, it's 30.
So that 24 should really be allocated between the other lines, wherever those cuts need to be made.
So what you're saying is the cuts haven't been made to those other lines yet.
It has. It has. It's just not
reflected
divided,
here yet?
Divided into the category. So we should take this $24,000 and let's say reduce customer information kits to $15,000. And then the quarter, it's just a chunk decrease, so it's
which
there.
Is what I said. The numbers here haven't been adjusted down yet.
The numbers have.
They haven't parsed it out separately.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. You haven't taken those down yet.
Not individually.
Okay.
Correct.
But you will?
Correct.
That's what I need to know. Then under printing, we have all these conferences listed. Quite a few, and honestly, I mean, typically, I mean, I haven't been on some of these trips in a while, but I've never seen public affairs staff really attend these. So what are all these conferences listed as? Are we planning on taking public affairs staff in addition to the board members and general manager and assistant general managers who are already attending?
The answer to that is we can cut that down some.
I mean, because I would just like to know, what do they actually need to go to? Because again, I've never known any of our public affairs staff to attend any of these.
Well, we do want them engaged and involved and learn what's going on in the industry so they better represent the district. But maybe we don't have to go as much, but we do want them to go.
Well, certainly I'm okay if they want to go to some things, and we need to identify which conferences would make the most sense for these types of employees. But it's like the one on there for League of California Cities, where the heck did that come from? I mean, we've never been involved with League of California Cities, and they're much more focused on cities, not special districts. I mean, Special Districts Association makes all the sense in the world to me, but why we have League of California Cities conference on there, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I didn't review everything in detail. But we'll get back to you.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at this. If there's certain conferences that the manager, either himself or one of his employees, might want to go to, I know there was like the Water Smart one, which I thought was much more technical. That's fine. Let's look at that. But I, like I said, most of this stuff I've never seen staff actually go, other than yourself or maybe the AGM. Most of the time, it's the board members going to these. So. Moving on further, in the, I guess it's the miscellaneous dues and subscriptions. Last year we, because again, I'm looking for areas where we can trim, the graphic design for the on-call graphic design, we proposed to increase that from last year's $35,000 to $45,000 this year. Can someone tell me how much we've actually used on that line item this year? Because unfortunately, in Ms. Bates, if maybe on the next version, if there's a way we can see how much we've actually used on each line item from last year, that would be most helpful. But can somebody tell me how much we have used of that on-call this year?
I would have to look that up.
Okay.
In the system.
Right, we just have it rolled up by category. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would prefer to see it individually if I can, because again, if we ended up using more on call than we thought last year, I have no problem giving you the 45,000, but right now I have no frame of reference, cuz for all I know we might have only used 10 or 25 or maybe 30, but again, why do we need 45 this year?
Yeah. And this question is one that I asked during the mid-year,
yeah,
because I couldn't see what was. Mm-hmm. Once you go to the detail, you can't see by line item.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
and yeah. So. We definitely need to try to work on making that visible. And then,
may I interject just a
mm-hmm,
bit?
Certainly.
I know that we're going to be utilizing this as well for the budget book. One thing that occurred prior is that there was an employee in public affairs that did the graphic work.
Correct, which is one of the reasons I added this line last year.
Mm-hmm.
Before, again, a lot of you were here.
Yes.
You know, and again, I have no problem continuing to have that support if the department actually needs it. But when you're asking for a $10,000 increase in a time when, frankly, we need to cut our usage of everything right now, it raises a red flag.
Well, we have an employee, NGIS, that's pretty good with graphics, and
yeah.
I had spoken to him about taking over
mm-hmm.
some of the, but he's got to go to training and so forth to do that. I mean,
yeah.
He's good, but he needs to
yeah.
get the training and so forth before we cut out the support.
Well, like I said, if you can follow up on how much we have used of that this year, and then maybe just clarify with the manager as to why the increase, that would be appreciated.
I'm sorry, Director Young. I didn't want to let the public know that when we're looking at this budget, the line item that you see at the bottom, it reads bottom up.
Yes.
So the right you. Now, the figures we're speaking of is in the professional services, other consultants.
Thank you. I got that mixed up. Yeah. Thank you. A couple lines down, we used to just kind of have a general consultant on there, but now we have $25,000 for a video drone consultant. What is this?
Well, it was very helpful, for example, when we did Earth Day and the videos that were taken. And so, but it's not only for, even though it's here, mm-hmm. The intention is that the drone would be used also in operations. And so, even though this is the department that would probably use it the most on a day-to-day basis, but we have sometimes when we want to see things without having to travel.
Correct. Yeah. And I know we bought that drone, but this is $25,000 for a consultant for the drone. $25,000. That's a pretty big chunk of money for a consultant.
Someone actually bringing out the drone.
So we don't actually use our own drone, is what you're saying? We actually
don't.
Pay
somebody? We didn't buy it. We haven't bought a drone.
We actually have someone come out.
Yes. That's correct.
Right. You want to buy a drone?
Would
we'll
it
buy
be
the
cheaper
drone?
To buy a drone and train one of our staff to do it?
Yeah, that would be nice, yes.
What about that as a compromise, Greg?
Well, I do not have an issue with the concept of having a drone. They can be quite helpful. But, again, to me, it's more the dollar figure was kind of
It would
shocking.
Be cheaper. But Debbie has something to say.
We have to look at our liability and see if our insurance even covers drones, because I think we have a clause that they do not cover drones.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
We might want to look into that. Might have to be subcontracted out if that's the way we're going to go.
That's what we're
but
doing.
We really have to look into that, because I want to say that our insurance does not cover drones.
Okay, so we would have to buy insurance to cover the drones. And we'll talk to the city of Rialto, because they have several drones. And I'm sure
Yeah, well, can we follow up on this, because I have no problem with us going third party, especially if the insurance situation is what you say, Debbie. But to me, it just seems like that's a lot of money just for an occasional drone use. I mean, how much drone use does that actually get us?
Right. We could buy a drone and train somebody cheaper. Yeah.
Heck yeah. I mean, you can get a drone for what? They're like $300 nowadays?
Well, we wouldn't want to buy one of those.
Depending on the size of one.
We want a good drone.
You want a good drone.
Okay, so you get a good drone. So maybe
$1,000. It's going to cost a few thousand dollars for a drone.
But still, I mean, $25,000 just seems a little excessive. So if we can check in on that and maybe figure out a better, less costly solution to where we still have that available to us, I have no issue with the idea, but the dollar amount, I was like, whoa. The next line item, disaster planning. Now, I know I've seen in other places in the budget that we're working towards updating our emergency plan around here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So is this $90,000 that?
No, it's not.
So what is $90,000 in public affairs for disaster planning by us?
There's a difference in what we do operationally and what public affairs would be doing.
Okay.
The focus for us operationally is on maintaining and operating the facilities. Their planning is based on dealing, obviously, with the public and response, how we would respond to the public. And so they would be doing training and so forth to.
I still don't understand what it is that they're actually doing.
We'll get you the details. We'll go through. We'll get you the details of the proposal.
So we're training them to be able to interact with the public in a disaster? Is that what they're doing?
Okay. Let's talk about, for example, there's something called, I forgot the precise name now, but the Joanne, what is it, the notification rule? The notification rule.
The State Water Resources Control Board?
Yeah.
Oh, the Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3
right,
violations.
Right, right. So if we have an incident that affects the quality of water that's going out to the public, our staff needs to have their plan for working on fixing the problem. But the public relations has to deal with notifying the public, and how do we do that? For example, one way would be coordinating with the city of Rialto and having a reverse 911.
Okay.
So that would be one way, but we'd have to get with them. The other way is having to deal with figuring out what we're going to do with media or what we're going to do with...
So let me ask you this question. So the $90,000 is to come up with a plan to how to respond in these things?
I have to look at the proposal and see exactly what's in it, but I do know that their concern is notifying the public and you know, just reacting and handling the public, but I don't know the details of the plan.
Okay, yeah, because to me, that's a lot of money. I mean, is that just to pay someone to come in and develop a plan for us, or... are they going to trainings? I mean, what does that actually encompass?
Yeah, and that's a good question, Greg, and that's why this is a study session. And Clarence, maybe we need to be a little bit more detailed in that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Yeah. And then
there's a lot here. I wasn't able to look at everything.
Well, I get it.
Yeah. And then I assume the next line, the per Clarence, same situation that we haven't adjusted the previous ones?
Individual.
Okay. All right. Next, I see that we have the solar challenge, the inland solar challenge, which we've done since I've been here, and Don probably you can tell me how far back we've done it, but we've typically done the $3,500 for Rialto High, who we've sponsored in that, but this year we're proposing to go up to $6,000. Do we have an explanation for that?
I don't have the details for that, but that has been handled, of course, by External Affairs, and they. So I'd have to see what Socorro has been the one that's typically been doing it, and I'd have to see.
I mean, because I'm okay with maintaining our support for Rialto High. We've been a longtime sponsor of them, but I think in this current financial situation that we're in, it's probably not a time to look at expanding at this point.
Yes, and just to let you know, a lot of these things were cut out. If you notice, $500,000 is being taken out from last year. So we've cut this budget
extensively. Yeah, they've taken a big hit, I've noticed.
Yes, they've taken a tremendous hit. And just to let you know all the detail that's been going on with this, this budget was $6 million higher prior to this in expenses. And we've gone through each one of these and cut and cut and cut and cut. There are some additional ones that we can do. Generally, they're the smaller dollar amounts, and we've been hitting a lot of the big dollar amounts.
No, and I certainly understand that, and having led the budgeting effort last year, I fully understand. But now we can look at the smaller amounts because they all add up.
I understand.
A little further down, we had $45,000 for 20-plus community town hall meetings. One, I know that I've been to one. I think, Mike, you've been to one, and I think we've had a few, and the turnout has not been...
Don't slight me. I've been to two of them.
Okay, two. Well, I didn't know. I heard that you'd been to one. I didn't know about a second one, but... I mean, I'm okay with having some community meetings. I don't know if we need to do 20 plus.
You know, on this is such a new thing, and some of the people that did attend, I explained that, you know, this is the first time we've ever done this. And I think as the word spread, like I talked to, the parties that did attend, and they felt that we could do a little bit better job on getting the word out, and I talked to Clarence and Nassim about that. There's some other venues that we can take to get the word out much better than what we did. Mm-hmm. And they said that they would have had much more participation. In fact, one person told me that they were going to go around and notify all their neighbors if we do this again, and they were all going to come out.
Yeah.
We had one person that drove up from Harupa, and they said, my whole neighborhood, they didn't know about this. If they had known, they would have been here.
Well, I mean, I can just tell you that we did community town halls prior to when you were on the board, when we did the first rebate, and the attendance was also problematic. I mean, some were attended better than others. I know I was at one where we had probably close to 20, maybe 30 people, which was about the best attended one. But we also had ones where we had one person show up, you know. So I'm not opposed to the idea. I'm just wondering, do we need to do 20? Can we trim this back? Because, again, I'm looking for areas where we can trim back. Because of, I want to try to get us a little bit higher up on our bond covenant at this point than one-tenth of 1 point off of it.
I think the problem we had is now that we're divided into districts, it makes it a little bit more problematic. If we were just general elections, we just held one meeting.
Well, but we have five districts, so if we cut it back to 10, that's still two meetings in each of our districts over the next calendar year.
We could probably do that. Does it have a per clearance cut down there? Oh, yeah, there you go.
I mean, again, I'm just throwing it out there because, again, I want to try to trim things up, and I don't know if we need to do 20. Now, maybe we might want to do 15.
Director Young.
Would that be three per director district over the next year? I mean,
it could be.
Also, to let you know, we did have two meetings for two of our districts that are broken up into two different areas.
Okay.
So there was two districts that had two meetings, one for the north end, one for the south end. So it was the five plus the two additional. Mm-hmm. So there was seven that were scheduled. And
so maybe 15?
I think 15's good.
So maybe we can trim that down a little.
Well, just throw that under per clearance.
We have trimmed it down, actually. It's just not reflected.
It's not reflected yet.
It's the amount that's a large amount that's a subtraction per clearance. Another thing is we're trying not to trim too much more out of public affairs, and the reason why is there's no Earth Day at this point in time. A lot of the big events that were put on last year at this point in time because of monetary concerns were not included in the budget.
Yeah, I did.
The way we're looking at this budget.
I did notice that.
Yes.
The way we're looking at this budget is a lot of things that we've taken out, if revenues change, you know, and we see an increase, then we can look at putting things back.
No, of course, of course. But again, I'm just looking for places where we might be able to trim a little. That's all. I mean, some things make sense to me. We got to have it. Now, for the social media promotion, we're looking at doing a bit of an increase from $2,500 to $3,600. And since nobody's here from the department, Clarence, if you could just find out some more detail as far as, I mean, what are they getting more Facebook ads? I mean, what is that increased engagement actually taking the form of? I'm okay with it if you feel it's justified, but again, that's still an increase over last year. Yes. Okay, that's it for public affairs. Here, I'm going to skip around a little here, so bear with me. The next one I had a question on was the HydroSTEM, which I know we were funding from monies we had received correctly.
That's correct.
But I wanted to, because I noticed the minus figure here. So again, has this not been reflected yet on what I'm seeing in front of me?
This one right here was reduced, but then brought back up to $95,000. It was proposed by myself to reduce it based on how many we had already committed to this year,
mm-hmm.
and then how it can be reduced without impacting others.
Okay, so what you're saying is that minus $49,650 is going to go away. We're actually going to keep it at the $95,000.
It's going to go away. It's going to go away at this point in time, unless the board wants to propose reducing.
I mean, we can. I mean, again, we got to, I think, squeeze every last dime out of places we can. But I was my question here was more on the fact that it wasn't adding up.
Mm, right.
Because it hadn't been changed. But
yeah, we'd like to keep the program because it's involvement with the schools. And but
okay. I'm okay with it then. But like I said, it was more that it wasn't adding up in the cell. Okay, moving on to pumping. So we were looking at adding some positions to this department, which I know we discussed in closed session. But I did want to ask specifically about the overtime. With the positions that we're adding, is $40,000 in overtime still viable number, or should it be lowered because we're now bringing in additional staff?
We were not bringing any additional staff into production at this point in time.
Okay. So you're comfortable keeping that number?
John, well, this is based on the adjustment that was made in closed session.
Yes, so. No, I understand that, but I just want to make sure that we're still comfortable with that overtime figure.
The answer is yes, we're short there.
Okay. Moving on a little bit below, and this is going to bring to a larger conversation, but, and I think it has been our practice, at least since I've been here, Director Olinger, maybe you can help clarify to me, but have we always paid for certification training for our staff going back historically? Like certifications.
The education
program,
I think, about 6-7 years ago.
Correct. Okay. No, but like certifications, like we'll pay for it.
I don't recall.
Okay.
But it's in our policy, our HR policy.
No, I totally understand that. I'm just kind of bringing this up as a broader point that I know that we have a lot of people in here who need to get certification. And I know, like, at the county, they don't pay for my recertification. I have to pay for it out of pocket for the certifications I hold. Now, I realize it's part of our current policies. I'm just saying that as we progress in a financial difficult times, potentially, that may be something we may have to revisit at some point, because there's a lot of line items associated with providing that. I don't want to take that away, but then again, we have to be fiscal stewards, though, too.
I don't know whether that would fall under the education policy that we have.
Like I said, I mean, it's a larger
5,000
thing. Yeah.
Well, the education policy is more directed towards formal training, like schools.
Formal training, yeah.
College.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm...
It's not for technical training or...
But like the certifications, like the D and T certificates and things like that.
Right. We've been reimbursing people.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pay for the to take the exam.
Yeah.
And then when they pass the exam, we reimburse them. And then when they actually apply for their cert after they get the notice, then we reimburse them for that.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's something we may have to think
about
but in
that's
the
such a standard practice in the industry to
I
take
understand
that away
that.
Would be.
Like I said, I'm not proposing any changes to it right now. I'm just saying that that is a big line item for a lot of these lines. Now, can you explain to me what this crane training for $15,000 is?
The answer is I can't give you the details on that, but we do need to have people that are certified as crane operators.
Okay, so it's actually for learning to operate
yes.
a crane. I
yes.
wasn't sure if that was like an acronym for something. Or
no.
Because again, there's not a lot of details. It just says crane training.
We get an accident without that, and
mm-hmm.
OSHA will be on our back.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not disputing that we probably need it. I'm just wondering, is that what it costs to get six people trained?
Okay.
Yeah.
It is expensive.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Again, I'm just looking at line items that, you know. Now, a little further down on the, you gotta look at the bottom one here, on the repairs and maintenance, the very first line for pumping repairs, last year we had 50,000. This year it's proposed to double to 100,000, but are we rolling up things that had been separate before into one item on this line?
Yes, to make it easier for staff when they enter the purchase request form. It's just one GL code versus in the past it was a lot of different GL codes covering the same thing.
Okay, because it makes it a little harder for me, because then when I'm comparing one line to another, it looks like you're asking for double, even though when I go back and read it, it looks like you might be combining things that used to be separate on this.
Yeah, we're combining them.
Yeah. Okay.
What page are you on now?
I'm moving on here. Water quality.
What's the page? One of
11.
11? Okay.
So the cross connect course. Last year we had $420. This year you're asking for $1,400. Is that just for the one additional person to take it?
No. How much is the courses at USC?
Is somebody
having it's about
a
that price
medical?
At USC.
That is the price for
it
the
is expensive for mm-hmm. USC.
Somebody okay. having a medical issue here?
We're going to have to see.
I'll take a look.
take a couple minute break here till we find out what's going on.
No, they're passing through.
Oh, they were just turning through. Okay.
Never mind.
I'm sitting here seeing the ambulance come in. I'm like, man. I know. That's what I was kind of like, geez, did I? Not that brutal, am I? So we had the water quality specialist requires cross connection certification.
And the answer is yes. We don't have redundancy in that area, and we need redundancy.
Okay, but you know, just help me understand, because like we had 420 there last year. Now it's 1,400. I mean,
we're starting with one employee from scratch.
Okay.
Whereas the employee we've had in the position, he's been through most of his training is just refresher training.
Okay, I see.
Versus
okay.
someone who has to start from scratch.
Okay, well, no, that makes sense. Again, just when I look at before and after, I do always. Stops out.
And that's what's going on.
Yes.
Okay. Would that be the same then as far as these treatment operator grade 2 courses and exam for this individual a couple lines down?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, that's fine. Now then it brings me to one which I know popped up on several, but the you'd asked for an adjustment in the mid-year and now another $1,000 for one employee to attend a seminar in Colorado. And, of course, that includes the getting there and all that fun stuff. What specifically is in Colorado that isn't available in California?
More marijuana.
I can get it here, too.
As much as you can Colorado.
These conferences?
Well, you can get mushrooms now, but I'm sorry.
These conferences are requested by staff.
Okay. But, and I'm just throwing this out there, just from my own experience, when I go to conferences out of state, I have to go through about a mound of paperwork with the county because the county is very insistent that you have to exhaust all opportunities to get the same training and experience in the state first before they will approve out-of-state travel. So, to me, I'm looking at this that if we're trying to save money, is there similar training they could get in California without us having to incur the cost of flying them to Colorado?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just throwing this out there. We may want to look at travel in that sense that it's cheaper for us to send someone here to in somewhere in California than to Colorado. If we feel it's a similar quality. Now, I mean, if you can make a case that they can only get a certain training in Colorado because there's nothing of equal quality here, I'm okay with that. But I think we need to be that judicious with our dollars. Does that make sense?
We agree. I'll be honest with you. I didn't look at this particular item. So.
Well, the training in Colorado pops up in several different departments, so I'll point it out the other places. But it, again, if there's something local, let's try to do local.
Now, when it comes to the AWWA conference that's being held in Colorado,
okay,
that's different. But these are
like
individual
said,
specialized trainings.
If you can make a case that that's the only place they can go to, that's fine. But if there's something comparable local, let's do that
right.
First.
We agree. We
okay.
Definitely agree.
All right. Okay. Moving on. Now, a little further down, I guess it's under repairs and maintenance. It's repair of water quality stands as needed. Last year, we budgeted $2,200. I think you went past it. Right. Oop,
sorry.
Right there. Very, very top one right there after chemicals. Last year, we budgeted $2,200, and this year, you're asking for $8,650, and this is just what I'm seeing here, unless it's wrong, that this is just repairs of water quality stands as needed. It's not like we have a need. This is more if we need to repair something, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And are we anticipating almost a fourfold increase in need?
Yes, because last year, even we budgeted a little bit, we didn't have the staff to go out there to actually do the repair. So we're hoping maybe this year, when we have more maintenance staff, we can really attack it. That's the actually sampling station when we actually collect water quality sample. If the station is not well maintained, we could get false positive for bacteriological testing. Mm-hmm. And then when people drive by, it just doesn't look that pleasing.
Again, I'm just looking at the dollar amount. That seems like a fairly big jump. So I mean, if there's a need for it, that's fine. But again, I just, when I see something where it's just like an as needed kind of line item and you want a 4x increase, it's like, well, then is it really as needed, or are we really like should just be budgeting this period?
We should need it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's fine. A little further down, and I'm not sure if it's matching up or if it's should be, probably should be its own line, is this $10,000 for fees for Dig Alert. That was that something new, because we didn't have something for that last year?
It was in engineering last year. We moved, Dig Alert is not a CIP activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had to move it into operations.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that, and was it 10,000 last year then? Okay. All right. Because I'm not quite sure it should be on that same line that it's on right now, because I know if you scroll all the way over, you'll see, yeah, it probably should be two lines down. So it looks like it's a little off as far as the rows. Now moving down, the stolen hydrometers. Are we seeing basically a twofold increase in stolen meters?
Yes.
No, that's really unfortunate. Okay, and then same things with the clamshell locks then?
Yes.
Okay. now this one kind of made me scratch my head, but the $2,000 for locating underground valves. Can someone explain this one to me? Because I thought we got GIS so we knew where everything was.
Yeah, but in order, GIS is secondary. You have to find it so you can put it on GIS.
Yeah, but I thought that we already went through that process of identifying where everything was as part of the GIS conversion.
I don't think everything's identified.
As with a lot of things, GIS is done from our paper maps.
Okay.
And so it's only as good as the paper maps. So it's an ongoing thing to make sure our facilities that are in the field are on the GIS.
Okay. And so so is this like a, how does this work? I mean, is this someone who comes out and helps us locate it? Is it a device of some kind?
It's a device, and okay. We train our staff to use it, and then they would go out and locate.
Okay, so we're purchasing an additional device? Because last year we had $1,000 down for this item. So did we purchase one last year? Now we're buying, I mean, I'm assuming there may be $1,000 each? Or what is it?
I think it's about $1,500
to $2,000. Okay. So did we not buy one last year because we didn't have enough? Or
I don't recall.
Okay. I mean, if it's 1500, I'll give you the 2000. But again, I'm just asking my questions. Now, the iPad Pro, I know in the mid-year we added $5,400, which isn't showing up there. But on the mid-year adjustments from last year, we did add $5,400. And so now you're asking for an additional $1,500. So did we spend the money from the mid-year yet?
We haven't.
Okay. Do we need another $1,500 on top of that $5,400?
$1,500 is about one iPad. Okay. Since they're taking over USA underground marking, they do need to have an additional iPad to head out there.
Okay. So this is an additional one which we didn't account for in the mid-year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. They're really that expensive, $1,500? That's a fancy iPad. anyways.
Well, it's also a better quality.
I know it is, but yeah. I'm just being a smart ass now. All right. Moving down, the backflow protection assemblies. This looks like a new item, or was this moved over from engineering as well?
This is a new item.
Okay. because I'm kind of confused on, so it's $10,500 for the assemblies that we then rent out?
Yes.
Okay, so we
basically what happens is we rent the meter.
Uh-huh.
But we don't, once the water goes out, we don't want water coming back, so
yeah,
we're putting backflow.
Backflow, yeah. Right. No, I understand that, but so have we not purchased these in the past, or is this only an occasional, every few years we purchase something?
In the past, a couple years ago, the customers, they will actually have to provide their own backflow preventers.
Ah, I see.
But now the district policies have changed.
I see.
So we're
okay.
Providing them for them.
Okay,
and
so
part of the reason is for something like that, I haven't asked them, would be if they're not, we're not sure about their certification and testing of their backflow, we don't have assurance that we're protecting the system.
No.
By making them rent it from us, we know that it's tested. And
okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, just asking the questions. Okay. Hang on here. FBX.
Could you call the pages as you're going?
Oh, I'm sorry. Page 16. Now, on here, next to the line for overtime, there was a comment that four employees are needed to take over the duties of the FBX. It's right in the middle.
I believe those were comments from the mid-year.
Was that from the mid-year? Okay, because I was kind of confused when I was reading that, because I'm like, shouldn't it just be the same people who operate both? Right? Okay, yeah, that's what I thought, so I don't know where that came from. So if we go down a little bit to the justifications, the very first one there is for under expenses and training for two employees to attend a seminar in Colorado.
That was mid-year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. But the $4,000 for the certificate courses, renewals, and HazWhopper? Am I saying that right? HazWhopper?
HazWhopper.
HazWhopper?
Yeah.
Is that like a new Burger King burger? HazWhopper.
Yeah. Inspired by Cal OSHA.
Yeah, because last year we had $1,000 for this item, but this year we're asking for $4,000. So did the price go up, or are we just planning on having, or do we have more people who need to take it this year?
Well, for operators over the FBR FXP plan, we need to budget for their courses, for their certification renewal, pay for the certification renewal,
okay,
and then pay for the course for the HazWhopper. It's about $4,000.
Okay.
Yeah, but why aren't we doing the HazWhopper locally?
We could think about it. Yeah, we can maybe work with HR to maybe have a guy come over. That
well,
might be
we down in Fullerton, we can get this done in Fullerton. I'm sorry I missed this, but we don't need to go to Colorado for that. We can go to Fullerton.
Well, the Colorado was a separate one. I was reading the wrong line item.
The HazWhopper costs only $30. We do it online.
I like that. Online, cheap. There we go. Okay. All right, that's fine. A little further down, the FBR, FBX components for online compressors and blower parts, $25,000. And last year, we only had $5,000 for this item, so.
Yeah, but over time, as they age, and you
mm-hmm.
begin to have to do repairs, so it's kind of like your car. You know, in the beginning, you don't pay a lot on maintenance, just mostly PMs, and then all of a sudden, you start having to pay for.
So are we replacing some this
parts.
Year?
We're replacing parts.
Okay, so we're anticipating some more expensive parts
yeah,
this
right,
year.
Right,
because
okay. to replace these blowers would be much more than that.
Well, certainly, but again, I just want to know the fivefold increase and in what it's for. So, okay. And then starting with the couple cells down, FBX Well 6, these cells seem to be a little off of the ones to the left, because like the cartridge one seems to be, if you go all the way over, it's actually on the thermo line. So if we can make some corrections, because it seems like the rows on the right side of the spreadsheet are off from the ones on the left by at least one cell. And then these are just replacement parts then, I assume, Joanne?
Yes, for the filters.
Okay. I don't have any issue with that, but I did want to point out that the rows seem to be off one in this area. A little bit further down on miscellaneous studies, the FBR FBX treatment plant components, asking for a doubling of that budget from last year, from 10,000 to 20,000.
That could be, we kept it kind of general, so that would be, covers a lot of different parts. Last year we only budgeted for valves and actuators, but we're hoping it could be a lot of other components, so just easier for us when we kind of move forward, make it more efficient and effective.
Because what concerns me is that if you look at the, does it have the subtotal? No, it doesn't. The percentages of what you've used this year for that 10,000, you've only used 3,500.
Yes, we had a good year, but we're hoping for the worst.
But you're anticipating a much, much worse year next year, is what you're saying.
Just preparing.
Well, Joanne, I will let you have the 20,000, but again, it worries me when you want twice what you had last year and you only used half of what I gave you last year.
Well, to come in a little bit too, the FXB plant will be is anticipated to be online as well.
Which is why I'm going to give it to her, because we may have to replace things as we bring that online. But, you know, again, we want to be mindful of what we've actually spent in the past. Now, office supplies was kind of a fun one for me. If you go down a little bit further, office supplies, $5,000, but we didn't have a budget for last year. So what did they do for office supplies last year?
Just take the stuff.
Exactly. So who did they appropriate from?
From purchasing. Let me look at this one, because...
Yeah, so, I mean, can we get an idea of how much they actually probably needed last year and just make a similar adjustment for that? Because I don't know if they really need 5,000. It was probably just a number they threw on there. Maybe they only need 1,000. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm okay with them having pencils and whatever they need, but can we get a more realistic number?
Just get them the way they used to get them, right?
Well, in my office, we call that appropriating. We didn't steal it. We appropriated it. Okay, page 17, so with the electrical cost, I noticed that last year we started with 370, we adjusted it down 70 in the mid-year, and so you're proposing 260 this year. Is that because we're anticipating that we're going to be doing more with the FBX?
FXB, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the FXB thing.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's Saturday morning. Okay, that's what I have figured it probably was, but I wanted to clarify that that's why we were proposing less electricity use on the FBR. So, and then, okay with that. A little further down on lab test, we have, it looks like a new one, 3,500 for Babcock Laboratories.
That is to finish up our UCML4 monitoring. We do it once every 5 years.
Okay. All right. That's fine. And then under chemicals, I had lots of questions on the chemicals because, you know, chemical costs tend to go up most of the time. But I was really kind of perplexed about the FXB aluminum chlorohydrate, 180,000. Last year we had 10.
FXB wasn't operating.
Are we going to use that much in the FXB?
That's their estimate based on where do they get the number from?
I guess when they budgeted for it, they weren't sure. Because it's a new technology, we just don't know how much dosage we need to add. We mastered the FBR plan, so we know it will cost about 216K for the FBR. But with the FXB, with the different type of technology and the microorganism, let's just be safe. So if anything happens, we don't have to do budget transfers to cover.
Yeah, but is this based on Corolo's, you know, during the time that they were test running the facility and the amount of chemical that they used during their test run?
that plus some buffer. I know FEL people, they like to add some buffer to it, like some cushion.
I mean, because I realize it's a slightly different technology, but it's the same basic process, correct?
Similar, yes. There,
so there. How much have we used in the FBR?
About 216K.
Okay, but we gave you, there was 10,000. I mean, where's the FBR line? Maybe I need to look. So the FBR line was 24,000. So you budgeted, right? I mean, I'm looking, it's a few lines up. FBR aluminum chlorohydrate, 24,000.
Yes.
So again, I'm just.
The two technologies use different ion donors.
Okay.
So that's one of the differences between them, the technology. So just think of equivalency. So when you see the 216,000 on the acetic acid for the fluidized bed,
mm-hmm.
and you compare that to the aluminum chlorohydrate on the fixed bed, they're serving roughly the same role, so this is assuming dosage is going to be approximately the same for both units.
Okay.
And this is also assuming that you have full production.
Okay. All right. No, well, that's, yeah, well, that makes sense. Again, I'm just looking at it on here, and I'm like, why is it so much higher?
I had this, I was looking at the report yesterday, so okay. I was curious about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That answers my question. I mean, if y'all say that's the way it is, I'm with you. A little further down under, I guess it's permits and fees, the vector control, $5,000 for vector control on Cactus Basin number 2. We had $2,000 for last year, and because I don't have an individual line, I can't see, but it didn't look like we probably went over that much, if we did at all. So why the $5,000?
Actually, we went over because of the mosquito problem we had a couple years ago. We are required to, you know, perform vector control for Cactus space and even the surrounding area.
Okay.
I saw the bill there about, depending on the month, yeah.
Okay, and it's going to cost us $5,000 instead of $2,000?
Yeah, $2,000 is not enough at all.
Okay.
The fact that we had a wet year.
Yeah.
Right, so you're going to have
more mosquitoes, yeah.
More vectors, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then the last line, the $7,000 for transportation, meals, and convention. What conventions specifically?
I didn't add this. This is added last minute. So okay. I need to talk to you.
Can we get clarification on what those are and if they are in fact needed? Because again, we need to shave wherever we can. Okay, moving on to water treatment, page 19. So kind of similar to the last one, the very first line on the detail is the newest Whopper Burger here and certification. So last year was 750, this year 4,000. But I know you had mentioned maybe we can get that nearby, or no, you say it's online, right?
Yeah, you can do it online.
Okay, but
it depends.
Yeah.
Online is a refresher.
Okay.
Okay. If a person is new, let's say I'm new, I would go to Fullerton and get there. Sometimes it's a week training.
Okay. Well, let's just take a look at that 4,000 number, see if that is accurate, and if so, that's fine. And then the HACH analyzer reagents, 15,000. Last year it was 5,000.
Yeah, pronounced hawk.
Hawk.
Yeah.
Okay, hawk. Okay, well, and I just realized that I need to leave. So, because I know when I leave, there goes the quorum. So I don't know if you want to, do we want to motion to or adjourn till a later date, because I got a lot more questions, but I do need to be somewhere in the next 15 minutes.
Okay, let's pick another date.
Monday evening.
Monday, this coming Monday. Let me look.
The reason why is we have to try to get this done so that we can...
Monday evening, that would be the 3rd.
I'm not available Monday.
How about Tuesday?
Tuesday, we have the MAC, Bloomington MAC. I'm free Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Okay. Now, Wednesday puts us in a position that we may not be able to make all the changes in time for to vote for this.
Well, we can always...
How much? Okay.
On the 20th. I mean.
Well, but our policies, the district's policies calls that we vote for the budget the first week in the first meeting in June.
How about you want to hit Saturday the 8th?
I can. I have a shower.
How about... Okay, well, good. That brings up a point I'm going to bring up in a minute. How much more longer do you think it'll take, Greg?
Well,
just a rough estimate.
Probably at least another hour or more because I only got halfway through.
Okay, only halfway?
Well, what, we're on page 17 of 48?
47, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask this. I need to move. I won't be able to attend the meeting on the 6th because I have a graduation. As you know, graduations are happening. But the 7th would be a good day. That's a Friday. Is that a good day for you?
I could do the 7th.
How about you, Don? 7th? Okay. What I would propose is we start, I believe Kyle's off on Fridays.
Now, you're going to AWWA, so when are you flying out for that? I thought you were going to AWWA.
Oh, is that? Is that
the Denver conference?
That's this next week?
Yeah, when? Well, it's a week after. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I got my dates. Okay.
For AWWA.
So, okay.
The 7th, I think Kyle is off on Fridays.
Okay.
But maybe I should call him.
But I work until I can get
when?
I can get here by, if nothing happens, maybe by 5.
Five? Okay.
But why don't we? Nothing happens on my way out the door.
Are we going to need a closed session for the meeting on Friday?
If the board feels that we're done with closed session, no.
Okay, David, maybe this would be a special time when we shouldn't have a closed session. Just go straight into the meeting so we can do this. So why don't we set, what'd you say, 5:30, Greg?
5:30 would be flexible.
Okay. So why don't we, Don, can we move the meeting to 5:30 on Friday, our board meeting? All right, so there's a motion to move the meeting from Thursday to Friday starting at 5:30.
I'm sorry. Oh. Now, that's
the whole board meeting, yeah.
Because we need to still have the workshop, though. We still need the workshop.
Well, yeah, we can do that after the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, because I can't make the meeting on Thursday, and I know we're going to have agenda items we're going to want to pass.
Okay, so we're going to do a full board meeting on Friday.
Right.
By the workshop after.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that sound good? All right, that is my motion.
I'll second it.
Second? Okay. Crystal, can you take roll call?
Director Don Olinger?
Aye.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Vice President,
yes.
I'm sorry, President Dr. Michael Taylor.
Yes. Oh, okay, Vice President, I'm fine. also, too, do we need to report out from our closed session?
Very briefly.
Okay. All right, go ahead and report out.
The district board is
on. No. Big boy voice.
The district board met in closed session. Pursuant number one to anticipated litigation, instructions were given to staff, and item number two, personnel, pursuant to Government Code 54957, instructions were given to staff. That concludes my remarks.
Okay, is there anything else we're missing? All right, that's it. Motion to adjourn. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your Saturday. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry,
thank you.
Thank you. Good.